What does it mean to be a bad feminist? For Roxane Gay, it's about acknowledging the messy contradictions that make us human. Her collection of essays brilliantly captures the tension between loving things that might undermine feminist ideals while maintaining a deep commitment to gender equality. She loves pink despite its gendered associations, sometimes plays dumb with repairmen because it's easier, and occasionally dances to music with lyrics that degrade women. These admissions create space for readers to recognize their own inconsistencies without shame. "I embrace the label of bad feminist because I am human," she writes, offering a refreshing alternative to the impossible standards often placed on women who identify as feminists. Rather than presenting a sanitized version of feminism, Gay invites us into a world where loving reality TV and fighting for reproductive rights can coexist. Feminism has historically privileged white, middle-class women's experiences while marginalizing others. Gay examines these shortcomings without abandoning the movement entirely, suggesting we can learn from these failures while building on its successes. What makes her approach revolutionary is the understanding that feminism isn't monolithic. We don't need to believe in exactly the same feminism, but we do need to respect our differences. Perhaps most powerfully, she encourages readers who can't find feminists they identify with to become the feminist you want to see. This transforms feminism from a static set of rules into a dynamic, evolving movement shaped by those who participate in it. By claiming the label bad feminist, Gay liberates herself and her readers from impossible standards while maintaining a fierce commitment to equality and justice. Isn't this ultimately more sustainable than pretending to be perfect? As a Black woman and child of Haitian immigrants, Gay navigates multiple intersecting identities that shape her perspective on privilege and marginalization. In Peculiar Benefits, she wrestles with acknowledging her own privilege, educational opportunities, a tenure-track position, financial stability, while still experiencing racism and sexism. She rejects what she calls the privilege Olympics, noting that endless privilege policing only silences necessary voices. Instead, she calls for observation. If you're reading this, you have privilege. Recognize it and consider using it for good. Her experiences as an academic reveal another dimension of belonging, describing the isolation of living in a small Midwestern town surrounded by cornfields, with colleagues 50 miles away who have families, while she fills the void with competitive Scrabble. These personal narratives demonstrate how individual experiences of isolation, connection, and identity are never just personal. They're shaped by broader social structures and power dynamics. Have you ever watched something and thought, "That's not me at all"? Gay's frustration with limited media portrayals of marginalized groups illustrates how representation shapes our understanding of ourselves and others. Her critique of BT's programming highlights this concern. BT's programming is largely a travesty, offering limited visions of Black success primarily through sports and music. She craves seeing the full spectrum of Black experiences, not just narrow stereotypes. Even when media attempts diversity, Gay remains skeptical of superficial inclusion. Regarding Orange is the New Black, she writes, "I'm tired of being told I should enjoy certain movies or television shows simply because they exist. Time and again, people of color are expected to be grateful for scraps from the table." She argues that diverse characters on the show are merely planets orbiting Piper's sun. When marginalized groups only see themselves portrayed through a narrow lens, it limits imagination about what's possible. We're all playing roles, but the scripts aren't equal. Gay examines how gender operates as a performance, with women trapped by expectations in both popular culture and everyday life. The pressure to perform likability emerges as a particularly insidious aspect of gender expectations. In Not Here to Make Friends, Gay reflects on how an unlikable girl is considered a problem from a young age. She expresses frustration at how likability dominates literary conversations. That likability even exists in literary conversations is odd. It implies courtship. She finds good, purportedly likable characters unbearable because she always does everything right, everything expected of her. Meanwhile, she's drawn to characters who make mistakes and put themselves first without apologizing. Her examination of the 50 Shades trilogy further illuminates problematic gender dynamics, describing the books as a disturbing primer for abusive relationships that dangerously romanticize controlling behavior as passionate love. By making these patterns visible, Gay invites us to question the roles we've been assigned. Gay's personal experience of sexual assault informs her unflinching analysis of rape culture. In The Careless Language of Sexual Violence, she critiques how media coverage often focuses on how perpetrators' lives will change rather than on victims. She observes how we've become desensitized through constant exposure and casual appropriation of rape's language. Rape shower, my boss raped me over that raise. Her own story reveals the lasting impact of sexual violence, describing being assaulted in middle school by a boy she thought was her boyfriend and his friends. Despite praying and finally saying no, nothing stopped them. The trauma continued at school when the boys called her slut, a name that followed her for the rest of the year. She examines how trauma lingers in the body, triggered by seemingly innocuous things. Men who look like her attackers, the smell of beer or cologne, harsh laughter. These triggers produce visceral reactions, nausea, cold sweats, shutting down emotionally. By sharing her experience alongside cultural critique, she creates a powerful argument for confronting sexual violence honestly. For Gay, writing functions as both resistance to oppression and a path toward personal liberation. As a Black woman writer, she confronts unique challenges in a literary landscape that often marginalizes voices like hers. She critiques the arbitrary category of women's fiction, observing that books by men about domestic themes, like Updike or Yeats, are considered literary fiction, while similar books by women get relegated to women's fiction. Despite these frustrations, Gay maintains that reading remains a pure joy. Writing also serves as personal liberation. I'm undestroying myself after years of allowing myself to stay damaged. I'm being open about who I am, who I was, where I faltered, and who I would like to become. The power of storytelling emerges most clearly when she describes how books saved her after sexual assault. Stories have always pulled me out of my darkest experiences, allowing me to remember, forget, and imagine better worlds.